Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone lines and talk with Kyle Malin, who is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Kyle, how are you?
Great. How are you doing this morning, Tony?
Well, we were supposed to talk to you about a lot of different topics when we had you last on the program, but we went local with you. Now we're going to go statewide here with you.
Okay.
Thanks so much for being with us. First of all, let's talk about that big bill dealing with the retirees, 1040. From what I understand, there's a big committee meeting this morning.
Yeah, there is. At 9 o'clock, the House Appropriations Committee is going to take up that bill that's going to reform the retirement system for public school teachers and employees and their retirees. And at that meeting, they're supposed to kick out a bill that would change the system. So basically, employees and retirees pay more, help stabilize that system into the future. Now, there's going to be some changes to it from the House. Well, the House has their version, and the Senate had their version they passed out last week. Now, apparently, these two versions are going to get mixed somehow. The House and the Senate and the governor met yesterday and came up with a, I don't want to say a tentative agreement, but basically kind of a soft agreement on what they're going to do with the budget. And that's going to include kind of a combination, I think, of both those two plans. We don't know what that's going to be yet, but I think we're going to get some more details on it today. But it'll be a combination of those two, and you know, folks who are interested in the teacher retirement system though are definitely really wound up and excited about what those changes could mean for them.
From what I understand, Kyle, the House bill is more friendly and will cost less money out of the pockets of the retirees as opposed to the Senate version.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and you know, the details on this isn't necessarily my specialty, but there is a pre-funding element in the House version in which the state was putting more money into the retiree system on the front end to try and mitigate costs down the road. You know, it's kind of like paying an extra $100 in your mortgage this month and then seeing the benefits down the road. You know, it's kind of that concept. And the Senate didn't have that in there. They were more thinking about ending the MIPSERS program, the pension system, and then just kind of shifting people onto a 401k down the road. That was kind of what they were looking at. So we'll see what they came up with, what they come up with, but it sounds like they've kind of got a general idea on what they're going to do. Now the question is, what did they end up deciding?
Kyle, one of the simple pleasures that I have is going to the MERS newsletter quote of the day. I tell you, there's nothing like political shots. And the following is a quote. Does Representative Pete Lund still believe in Santa Claus exists too? I don't think we would be calling for a state police investigation if we were involved in this. That's from House Democratic Press Secretary Katie Carey on Lund's open question about whether House Democrats were behind the mysterious filing of Matt Mozick in the 76th House District. Tell us about the story.
Well, that goes back to the Roy Schmidt, that lawmaker from Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. who changed parties, and then the opponent who filed as a Democrat against him as a Republican, though, happened to be a friend of his nephew's. And so, you know, he was 22 years old. He filed his affidavit with this with the county clerk there, but some of the information wasn't quite right. And so there's been a Michigan State Police investigation into the matter. And, you know, it's kind of exploded into a bit of a controversy. So Pete Lund, who's in charge of the House Republicans campaign shop, was asked questions about it yesterday. You know, what did you know? When did you know it? Those kind of things. And he pleaded ignorance and then instead offered, well, maybe the Democrats put up this Matt Mozick guy. And to that, Katie Carey from the Democrats just shot that out. This guy is just completely ridiculous. Why would they be applauding a state police investigation into a plot if they were involved in it?
Well, there was a huge political powwow between Governor Rick Snyder, Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville, and House Speaker Jace Bulger, and apparently they have reached an agreement in principle for fiscal year 2013 in the budget that will include some individual income tax relief. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and that kind of goes on what I was talking about earlier on MIPSERS. You know, they made some agreements on MIPSERS because they're tying that teacher retirement reform into the budget this year. I should have made that more clear. because they see savings in the teacher system down the road. So that was part of a budget agreement. They don't want to call it a deal yet, but the majority leader and the speaker and the governor got together, and they got a kind of a deal in concept. They got to come back tomorrow and look at it, make sure it's what everybody agreed to. Then they can sign it, then it's a deal. And they didn't want to talk too much about what had been agreed to in there, but one thing is that there was going to be some kind of income tax relief in there, either in the form of a lower state income tax rate, which is currently at 4.35%, or we'll get an increase in our personal exemption, which right now is $3,700, and that could get bumped up. I don't even want to say a number, but that could get bumped up. And so we're going to work out that small detail today, but it looks like we're for the next income tax season, get a little income tax relief as part of this budget as well.
Another package of bills that are huge and being discussed at the Capitol are medical malpractice. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and we've got kind of conflicting bills right here, but obviously the ones that are sponsored by the Republicans are the ones that have the best chance of going somewhere. And again, I don't want to get too far into the details to risk boring your listeners, but essentially the bills the Republicans are putting out is something that the doctors like and the trial attorneys don't like, you know, so that shouldn't be too much of a shocker, in that it protects the doctors from having lawsuits against them from people who don't necessarily have much of a case. It allows a judge to summarily dismiss a claim before it gets to a jury if the judge feels as if it doesn't have a lot of standing or backing. I don't know the legal jargon there, so I don't want to get it too messed up here. But basically, it gives it to a judge first, and it gives a backstop to the doctors so that it would prevent kind of, I don't want to say frivolous, but you know, suits or claims against the doctor for malpractice that don't have a lot of standing. And that got folks kind of riled up yesterday at the Capitol, and they had people who claim that we had medical malpractice against doctors and we need to have the strongest laws in the country, but these would weaken patient protection. And then instead the Democrats offered a patient protection package that would go after, you know, kind of those 6%, I think they used the term or the number 6% of doctors who make up a lot of the medical malpractice case, go after those bad actors and get them out of the system. So we only have, you know, the good doctors out there performing work on us.
Kyle, from what I understand, the Democratic bill is focused on doctors who are involved in procedures that go wrong if they're impaired or if they're not properly rested for these procedures.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem as well. You know, they want to make these doctors responsible for their actions, and part of being responsible is making sure that when you go into the operating room or you're going to do a procedure, that you're properly rested, you're not on drugs, you're not hammered somehow, and they want to put in stronger penalties to prevent that in the future. I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you're, even when you're driving down the road, you're a much better driver when you're gotten your proper amount of sleep as opposed to when you're butt tired trying to drive through the night, you know, and that's kind of the same thing with doctors. But doctors pull such outrageous shifts that it's not uncommon for very tired doctors to be involved in procedures. And then I think the thought being that if you put stricter penalties in there, maybe the hospitals or the staffing agencies will do a better job in making sure you get some fresh bodies in there working on people.
Kyle, when you and I last talked about the bridge and the governor's efforts to get that bridge built, we had talked about the issue of not using the legislature, basically working with the cities of Windsor and Detroit to get this built, because in all reality, if he's not using any state funding, he can see that this bridge gets built. Any new news on that story?
No, other than he told a group last week that he was going to get this done this year. So that's kind of like a tighter time frame than what we've heard in the past, which is soon. you know. But, I mean, depending on your definition, Christmas could be soon, you know. Or, you know, the year 2014 could be soon. You know, it all just kind of depends what your frame of reference is and what your definitions are. But it sounds like he wants to get this done this year, and he kind of has to. I mean, there's this ballot proposal that the Ambassador Bridge is passing around to force a vote of the people before such a span is agreed to by the state. Is up and moving. I mean, that petition drive is getting circulated. The Ambassador Bridge has paid circulators and a contracting company whose job it is to get those signatures. And I saw them out in East Lansing on Sunday. And, you know, the governor needs to get something before the November election on this thing in order to have a standing if this thing gets passed by the voters.
All right, and finally, Kyle, as we head into that season where we'll be hearing a lot from legislators trying to get new jobs or trying to keep their old ones, do you expect any change in the House or the Senate? I know we're looking into this early, but just want to get a handle on it as we get into the campaign season.
Well, I think that the House Democrats have some real good candidates in a lot of select districts across the state. And I wouldn't be surprised if they made some pickups in the House, reduce that Republican majority that's currently 64-46 to, you know, something maybe in the 60, you know, the 60-50 range, something like that I could see. But the Democrats, in order to take control of the House, I think it's virtually impossible. To be quite honest, I mean, the margin is so great, and the number of targeted seats that they're dealing with where they have good candidates is very few. I mean, they basically have to run the table on like 10 or 11 real targeted, realistic races where they got a good candidate with the numbers behind them. I mean, they'd have to do all 11. I mean, that's almost like flipping a coin 11 times and it coming up heads, you know, all 11 times. Is it possible? Yeah, sure. Anything's possible. Is it probable? No, probably not.
Kyle Malin is the editor of the MERS newsletter. He'll tell you that it's Michigan's oldest and most comprehensive newsletter covering the activities of the Michigan state government. Thanks so much, Kyle.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Tony.